1-800-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big weekend across Scottish football. It's As You Were at the top after very different types of wins for Hearts, Rangers and Celtic. Jens Bertel Askew had to settle for a share of the spoils at Easter Road, but he is the manager of the month today, and the January window reaching its midway point. Slowly but surely, Rangers have added a midfielder. There are rumours elsewhere and still no striker for Celtic. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
You know, sometimes, Gordon, it's just nice to get a weekend where things happen, just confirm things you thought you knew. You know, Martin O'Neill knows how to set up a football team properly. Craig Gordon's not a bad goalkeeper. Aberdeen and Rangers don't really like each other. Hibs, Motherwell, Falkirk, they'd all be good additions to the top six. And those one-on-one sessions with Brooklyn Cabungalo and Marvin Bartley are going really well.
It was another, honestly. What's the deal with Scottish football this season? It is blockbuster every day, every minute of every day. There is something happening.
As you said, as far as the strangest season in Scottish history goes, I do think it was a fairly routine weekend with Celtic, Hearts and Rangers all getting wins, all in different types of fashions at that as well. Motherwell and Hibs reminding everybody that they're good teams, but as Roger said, even at the age of 43, what a script that Craig Gordon's writing himself.
0141 951 1025, come on down and let us know what is on your mind after another busy weekend. We love a Monday night because there's so much to look back on. You can always preview what's to come as well. And a theme that is going to underpin everything we do this month, clearly, is the January transfer window. Are you starting to get annoyed at lack of business? Are you encouraged by the rumours out there? Those are questions that apply to fans of every team. So get your thoughts in there. If you want to go specific on the weekend, how good was that save from Craig Gordon? Have you ever seen a better save in your life? Do let us know. What does it all mean for the title race? Hearts having to dig it out with 10 men, get over the line beating Dundee, putting a bit of pressure on Rangers later on, but a very comfortable evening in miserable conditions at Pittodrie. And you Celtic fans, you're doing your best to delete the previous 8 games from your memory. Martin O'Neill's back, it's like he's never been away. It was a routine victory. So what stood out for you on the day as well? 01419511025. Roger Hannah was at Easter Road. Andy Halliday wasn't, despite being a Motherwell fan, but we'll maybe get to that later on. So if you've any questions about that game, you can do. St Mirren fans, what's going on there? Stephen Robinson does not sound happy at all. I don't suppose you're too happy either. Yeah, but I'd be keen to get your thoughts on where things are at the moment. That draw that the guys mentioned, Livy and Kilmarnock, doesn't really do anyone any favours. Falkirk again cementing their place as one of the success stories of the season so far. So loads to get through. Please pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. Now, these two will put you in the mood. First of all, what was your result of the weekend?
I'll go for the leaders, Hearts. Awkward going to Dens Park. Dundee had just won 3 straight games, Gordon. They've got the goalie sent off before half time. They need to take off their goal scorer, Claudio
Braga.
Oh, right decision, yeah, of course it was, yeah. And then they hold out. They've got 5 centre halves on at the finishing whistle, and what a save. I mean, it defies physiology. That's a word.
Does it sound that?
I think physiology.
I think the way you said it is maybe what's confusing things. I never thought we'd maybe dedicate an actual portion of the show and calls to a save, but it might just be that good. We'll see how it goes between now and 8 o'clock. Andy, your result?
I'm going to go for Falkirk, and the fairy tale that is John McGlynn's tenure at Falkirk continues. You know, this time 2 years ago, sitting 6th in League One, drawn 2-2. At home to Edinburgh City. Edinburgh City are currently bottom of League 2 and Falkirk are now sitting in the top 6 in the top flight. It's just been a remarkable journey. So many different storylines within it. When you look at the amount of players that have went the full journey with them back from League 1. And again, playing the League Cup winner St Mirren, who are having a really tough time at the moment, but taking nothing away from John McGinn and Falkirk, another fantastic result.
Yeah, not over yet. They're adding players in the January window as well. What was your goal of the weekend? Any standouts?
Well, I'm going to go back to Falkirk. Finn Yates, it was, listen, only a half chance. Don't know what Shamal George is doing out there to deny Kelvin Miller, but it's a lot of work to do, and He did it well.
Can you hear him sighing away?
I'm just ignoring like, it.
He thinks call it a weekend for an empty net.
Right.
Can I just say he's peaked with that Edinburgh City start for 2 years ago. He's only going downhill for a year.
I stole it off somebody over the weekend. I heard it. The only thing is, just because a goalie makes a mistake, it can still be a good goal at the same time.
If the goalie managed to get back onto his line, maybe, but no.
Tell us then, what was your goal of the weekend?
I'll give you a better one. You ready for this?
I'm happy with that.
So there's a lot of chat about Motherwell's football, sometimes making 20 to 30 passes before they can score a goal. But as Mari Longuello picks up the ball inside his own box, shows great composure to work outside the box. It was only three passes to get from Motherwell's penalty box to Hibs' penalty box. Works on his right foot, drills it into the far side netting, and secures himself as current top goal scorer in the league.
Howler of the weekend.
Well, from a couple of guys who scored goals to a team of guys who can't score goals. The Aberdeen attack, how can you go 6.5 hours without scoring a goal in the Premiership? It must be the costliest front line that can't score a goal in Aberdeen history. And I'll tell you what, the guy who comes in to get the job, not only does he have to deal with Lutz Pfannenstiel in his dugout.
You love saying his name. Andy and I noticed this last weekend. He's
going to have to deal with a squad of underachievers.
Okay, collective howling for the Aberdeen attack. Andy?
Could have had a couple in the same game, but I'm going to go for Cabangolo. It's got to be, and you could fact check this if you like, it's got to be the earliest unforced substitution in Scottish football history. 9 minutes, and easily could have been done 6 minutes prior. I actually thought it was really hard done by with the first yellow card, given how early it was in the game, and I didn't think it was very cynical. But the second one is as nailed on a yellow card as you're going to get. And then to follow that up less than 45 seconds later with another third foul, I was extremely surprised that it remained on the pitch. When David Martindale then took out his hand by taking him off himself.
When's the assistant manager in here? When's he here?
Tomorrow, usually.
Tomorrow? I'd love to hear his defence on this.
I actually really enjoyed it playing out of the weekend when we were on Saturday Live and we were getting news through that he'd been booked so early. And then he'd had a couple more fouls and they were going to have to take him off. Because when did he come off, did you say?
I think it was 9 minutes. I'm sure it was 9 minutes.
They started thinking about it from 3 or 4, didn't they?
Yeah. And Danny Wilson warming up. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
No. Ask him about Brad Lines. Ask him about that one as well.
We could get to that as well. And you're a top man, does that leave us there? Top performer.
Listen, it has to be Craig Gordon, doesn't it? 43 years of age, coming into that environment. Emil Aqua thought he had scored with a header. He was wheeling away to celebrate. The ball is behind the goalkeeper. He gets down, the big left hand. He was thrilled. Derek McInnes was thrilled. I bet you Steve Clark was pretty pleased as well, Gordon.
See, like, it's easy, just quickly on that before we take calls, it's easy to throw big statements around. You ever seen a better save than that?
Ever?
In Scottish football, then let's limit to that.
I was in here the day.
You would be gone a long, long time, for sure. It's incredible. It is one of them. It's so easy to say, but as soon as it leaves the head of the Dundee attacker, it's goal. One each in the last minute of the game.
People will talk about Andy Gorham from Van Hooydonk. That was closer to Gorham. This was actually Emil Aqua is doing what every centre forward is taught to do: put it back across the goalie, put it down low, it will go in. And he's kept it out.
And again, it's like we always talk about reactions for teammates. Look at Craig Halkett's reaction. Look at Benny Beningame's reaction. 43-year-old, not played next to any domestic football all season.
None in 8 months.
But even when he came onto the pitch, never really had anything to do. So, you know, goalies always talk about keep their concentration because they'll have one big moment. His comes in literally the last kick or two in the game. And listen, it was great to see obviously his teammates' reactions and his manager's reaction after as well.
And the best, how big is he and how small is Cammy Devlin?
Oh, well, we knew that already, no?
I mean, when he went to congratulate him at the final whistle, it was like a dad taking his boy over the turnstile.
That's one that we can have a bit of fun with, I'm sure, or a nice healthy debate throughout the show. Give us your thoughts on that save. I mean, how good was it? What are we talking about here? Is it recency bias or is it seriously up there with the best we have seen? Do let us know. 01419511. Yeah, go on, I forgot about you. Because you're a performer of the weekend. Well, it'll be good now.
I'm going to try and make it as best I possibly can. That's somebody that's going to the World Cup, barring any injuries, touch wood. I'm going to make a case for someone that I think has to go to the World Cup. I think Craig Halkett's been the best central defender in Scotland this year. And I thought he followed that up with an unbelievable performance yesterday. A backs against the wall performance for arguably 60 minutes for Hearts. we talked about just before coming on earlier, the amount of crosses that went in from Dundee into the Hearts area and who was there to clear it time and time and time again. Craig Halkett's having an unbelievable season, and this March Scotland squad will be coming soon, and I hope he gets in it.
I agree with that. He's been absolutely terrific. Mm-hmm. And listen, he may well be shortlisted for Football of the Year honours later in the year. He has been that good.
Let's go to the phones. 01419511025. Stephen is in Eaglesham. How's it going, Stephen?
Yeah, it's going good. Very good after yesterday. You talked earlier on, just a wee minute ago, about big statements. So when Rangers get beat in the semi-final of the Cup off Celtic this season, I called up in the Monday. I think we were 14 points behind Hearts and we were about 8 or 9 behind Celtic, and I said we would win the league, and I was convinced of it. I think at the time, I'm sure Andy had said, after I'd made that comment, that Rangers would be lucky to finish third. I think I called a few weeks later and Roger had made a statement which is maybe not verbatim, but you know, I think he said it's November. Could a Rangers team catch Celtic 5 points behind, you know, with all the games left in the season? Yes, but not this Rangers team. So I think we've not won anything yet, but you only need to look at the points table effectively since Danny Rule came in, and we've been relentlessly packing up points. It's not been great to watch at times, but this guy's got us well organised, well drilled. The boards are doing a phenomenal job of backing us.
See, just out of curiosity, Stephen, since you're backing your prediction skills here, I have no complaints at all at you thinking as a Rangers fan you thought things could get better. You're not telling me you saw Celtic's collapse coming.
I did, and I'll tell you why.
You saw that coming, the nature of it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you why, right? So that Martin O'Neill managed Celtic that day. We played an hour with 10 men and we were the better team. We started poorly in the first half hour before Asgard got sent off. And, you know, we saw in the Old Firm game recently at Parkhead, we were horrendous the first half, but the manager made the right decisions at half time to change it, and then we went on to win. I think if we have 11 men that day, we beat Celtic. Now, he'd only taken over Rangers maybe a month before. Three straight wins, boom, boom, boom. Well organised, well drilled. Many fellow Rangers fans seem to think that we just had a horrendous squad.
How did any of this convince you that Celtic were going to lose 6 of 8 games under Wilfried Nancy? That's what I mean. I'm not like whether Rangers shaded the cup final with 11 men or whatever is one thing. How did that tell you that Celtic were going to collapse the way they did?
Well, because so in the previous games under Rodgers with Celtic, they'd scraped that wins by the odd goal every other game.
Stephen, that's not answering my question, though.
But I'm telling you the signs that showed me to make a ridiculous comment on the face of it at the time. So basically, Celtic were scraping victories. Even under Martin O'Neill, they get the last second winner against St Mirren. They beat Hibs by the odd goal. They really toiled. I looked at that team and I thought, this is a terrible Celtic team. And if we get our act together and if we back the manager in January, I think we can go all the way, because I personally felt we had talented players in the squad. We just had a manager that was probably even worse than Nancy, even though Nancy in the face of it got a couple of wins. I wasn't to foresee that Nancy would have, you know, 4 league losses in the league or whatever, but I knew the Celtic team were going to lose a lot of games or drop a lot of points between then and the end of the season. So that, look, I mean, I might have been wrong, but I think I'm slowly but surely being proven right. I did also say that Hearts were insignificant, and I think I rattled them. Maybe it was me, maybe not, I don't know. But ever since then, they are dropping points. And all right, they came through the game the other day, and I think they're having an open top bus tour celebration.
You have remembered that the Hearts are still top, yeah?
Absolutely, but how many points were they ahead when Danny Rule came in? So, and look at the way it's going. Now, see the first half of the season, Hearts took 6 points against Rangers and 6 points against Celtic. They'll not do that in the second half of the season. They're shipping a lot of points against the other teams in the league, and they've not got it in them to win this league.
You know what I like about Stephen, right? Stephen reminds me of that guy that Stephen might have the right answer. Rangers might win the league. I'm not offended by that suggestion. It's how he gets there. It's his working that's stressing me out. How are Hearts shipping lots of points?
And also, they're just not. When he talks about just getting 6 points against Rangers, the most recent one was pretty recent. It was only 2 or 3 weeks ago when Danny Rowe was doing extremely well on a good run of form. Listen, Stephen, I hold my hand up. I said that this Rangers team wouldn't be in a title race. But see, when you have the worst league start since 1978, I don't think that's all that outlandish. Now, fair play to you, because you've obviously predicted it. But there is still a long, long way to go. And I, for one, have absolutely not seen anything close to seeing that Hearts are going to wilter. I really have, and even watching the game yesterday. Now, Rangers have dropped points to Dundee, and Celtic have dropped points to Dundee, and Hearts went down to 10 men against Dundee in the first half, and they defended for their lives, and they got the 3 points. That, for me, is not a sign of a team that's going to wilter away or crumble away. Now, if anything, that I do believe that you're right. I think Rangers will get stronger. I think Celtic will get stronger. But I don't think there's anything to suggest that Hearts will get stronger either. We always talk about the recruitment, Jamestown Analytics, the players they brought in the summer. They've already brought in two in this January window, and I think they're also trying for at least one or two more. But what is for cast iron certainty, it's going to be an unbelievable run in. Gordon will tell you as much as anyone, I've never been a fan of the split. Never. I tell you what, the split this year could be something special.
It'll be absolutely fantastic, because it's still at the top of the show. Motherwell are a strong team. Hibs are a strong team. Falkirk have been terrific coming up. So when you get beyond the split, if the table's still more or less like it is just now, every single game is going to be significant after the split. And it's great just now. You talk, Stephen, about, you know, Hearts taking 6 points off Celtic and 6 points off Rangers, and they won't do it again. Everybody has got to play each other twice, home and away. There's going to be so many meaningful games in the second half of the season. It'll be terrific.
It just feels like Hearts, because again, they might not win the league. I'm open to that possibility, but I think they're on course for about 85 points. We're in January. This is not like some sort of small sample size. Even if Hearts drop off, does it not feel like we're close to the stage where they're still going to be in the title race?
Absolutely.
Like, they can't. It's almost like,
people that keep dismissing it, I keep asking them the question, what is their weakness? So I think Roger, to be fair to him, said half tongue in cheek a few months ago that the history books will tell you they won't win it. But we're now in the 12th of January. What part of Hearts' game is weak? Because I don't see any. They've scored the most goals in the league. They've got the third best clean sheet record. They've scored the most goals for corners. They've got the third best defensive set piece record. They've scored goals in last minutes. They've got goals all over the pitch. They can now win games with 10 men. I don't see anything to suggest that they cannot
win
the league.
Speaking of scoring from corners, though, I was waiting on you giving your man of the weekend to Scott Fry, Rangers' new set-piece coach. Yeah. Stephen's very excited generally about the way Rangers are. Surely a lot of the reason is down to that, because the numbers are
incredible. Do you remember the night he was appointed? We had a caller on that was extremely vocal at his displeasure of the appointment, and I racked off my Lincoln City stat that night. And listen, it's been an outstanding job that he's done. And obviously the amount of goals is well publicised, but the amount of chances, when Raskin wide free kick yesterday should score, Raskin wide free kick Tuesday should score, Emmanuel Fernandez, for me, gets a goal wrongly disallowed, he also has a big chance in the first 10 minutes, they just look so, so dangerous for set plays at this moment in time.
Absolutely, and I agree with you about Fernandez. I mean, Dimitar Mitov is with him in every game. That's all David Dickinson and John Beaton needed to know. He just didn't jump high enough, and Fernandez did, and it was a goal. A bad decision, but no, you're quite right. And, you know, Hearts have got more goals, as you say, from set pieces, but the arrival of Scott Fry has added another string to Rangers' attacking bow. The deliveries, it was Barron before he was injured, it's now a mixture of Tavernier and Magoma. The deliveries are good. And they've got guys in there, not just the big guy Fernandez, but Raskin, who's not the biggest, just seems to have a great leap on him, and, you know, they've a few targets in there.
Thank you, Stephen. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Loads to get through from the weekend. You can send us your thoughts on that Craig Gordon save if you so wish, or anything else more specific. And what about the January window? Get in touch with all of the above and more. Graham is next up on the phones. Oh, hi, Graham.
Morning, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, more importantly?
I'm better now, the Rangers have been better. I was just saying to the boy there, that first point is on, it says we sign quality players, what's your name, in October, November. What's the different Rangers for me, mate? offer him when he got a game at Vale of Clyde then. But what Danny Rowe's done is improved him. He just wants to defend and get the ball forward. He's not interested in partners or systems or anything else. He just wants to win games. And the biggest shout-out must go to the board, mate. They spent $30 million in the summer. And Rowe's went in, identified what's wrong, and they've backed him. And that's a penalty box striker, a wide right player, and we could be in a very good shout in this league.
Is that a feature of Danny Rowe's time that he's improved players? Because that's kind of all you can do, isn't it, when you go in like before a window or whatever. You know, is he, take it, he's improved individuals?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's improved the team collectively off the ball as well. I agree in terms of, you know, I mentioned the start, but the start to the season, obviously a lot of the pressure was on Russell Martin, and for a lot of it, quite rightly so, but I don't think the players were doing enough in that point in time. But I've said that a couple of times, I think he's squeezing every ounce in what he's got in this group at this moment in time. And listen, you just never know. That is the beauty of what we've seen so far this season. It's been the strangest season ever. I don't think it's going to change. I think there's going to be many twists and turns still to come. But what is really, really important, that Rangers are showing they're still going to be active in this window.
And see, when Graham there says about Danny Rowe just, you know, winning games, making that the priority, which sounds daft because everybody's priority should be winning games, Roger, but the kind of, you know, mentioned it earlier, whether it's set pieces, whether it's just finding that that way, I don't think even, well, maybe Stephen, the last caller, was the most optimistic Rangers fan on the planet, but apart from him, we don't get calls saying Rangers are sparkling, they're brilliant, you know, it's free flowing. But it's hard to care too much when you're a Rangers fan and you're seeing the points total.
I mentioned Martin O'Neill at the top of the show saying, you know, he knows how to set up a football team. In his own way, Danny Rowe's just done the same. You know, Celtic and Rangers have replaced two idealists in Wilfred Nancy and Russell Martin with two realists in Martin O'Neill and Danny Rowe. Danny Rowe's gone in there and he's looked at what he's got between the appointment in October and the opening of the window, and he's done the best he can with it. Now, sometimes that was five at the back and it wasn't very fancy, and they got the results that way. Other times, last couple of games, it's been Gesama and Moore a bit further off, you know, up with Chirmiti, and they're, you know, a wee bit more attacking. The set pieces, all of that, but he's a realist. He does the best he can with what's at his disposal. And I think the Rangers fans will be excited looking at that and thinking, if he's got better players at his disposal after January, how good could they be?
I don't think he can make the headlines in his own paper, but did you hear in there Danny Rowe's the next Martin O'Neill? I think that's pretty much what he just said.
It was certainly along the lines, that's for sure.
Get that clipped up.
We had enough trouble with Hugh Keevan suggesting Marty Supreme headlines and stuff.
See, in terms of the performances as well, in fairness to Danny Rowe and Rangers, because I agree with you, I don't think it's been scintillating at all. But that is as comfortable by a long shot that they've been under Danny Rowe, I think. And listen, you mentioned that Sheffield's not won at Pittodrie. I never said that. But, you know, it's been a stadium where Rangers haven't won in three seasons, and it's always a difficult venue for Rangers to go, but I thought they were extremely comfortable yesterday and could have scored more goals.
Is that the disappointing thing quickly from Aberdeen's perspective, is it wasn't difficult to go? It wasn't a difficult place to go. Yeah. Aberdeen seem in a bit of a state, don't they?
I actually thought there would be a reaction, because Rangers won quite easily those two first half goals on Tuesday night. I thought there would be a reaction from Aberdeen. Peter Leaven made a lot of changes, a lot of different players on from Ibrox, and I thought this might be quite awkward for Rangers. And it wasn't awkward at any moment. And there are problems. Whoever gets that job at Aberdeen has huge issues to deal with.
Is the new set piece coach not getting any credit, Graham?
Definitely. Did you see the thing in the guy said last week? He got a bonus for goals scored in set pieces and goals conceded. They got 500 quid. And if they lost one, they lost 500 quid. It's a big night out for all the players and all the staff in London with the money they made. He was that good at the boy Erahan that played with St Mirren.
Ethan Erahan, yep.
Outstanding. I said he's outstanding. He worked well.
Lincoln, that would have been right. Tell us a bit more, because it's kind of in fashion at the moment, especially down the road. I think only Hearts and Rangers have got specialised set piece coach in the Scottish Premiership. Who's the top two for Hearts set and pieces scored? It's easy to scoff and say, "Ah, modern football gone mad," or what? Yeah, kick the ball really high and have 6'6" Emmanuel Fernandez head it into the net. But this cannot possibly be an accident. So talk us through what you're seeing and why you think it's been successful.
Well, I think for one, I think in probably previous tenures and times gone by that, well, for number one, James Tavernier used to take every single set piece, whether it was an outswinging corner, inswinging corner, wide free kicks for either side. I think now they're mixing up delivery. Not even for the goal yesterday with Telo Asgard, they decide to go short in a 2v1 to try and work a different angle to put the ball into the box. But you actually see their setup. They have, I don't know an exact number, but they have numerous different setups within the box to try and create different runners, to try and create blocks to free up the best headers of the ball, basically, whether it be Emmanuel Fernandez or Nico Raskin that Roger spoke about. And again, the goal yesterday was actually a warning shot for Aberdeen, because 5 minutes before, I think Emmanuel Fernandez given that opportunity to score again, I think he puts the ball in the back of the net. But listen, they've got great delivery, as Roger says. They've got willing people that can go and attack the ball, and obviously with Scott Fry's input.
Because Roger, it looks simple, but that must be the point. Every team would have it that simple if they could. So, like I said, this can't be an accident. If Hearts and Rangers are so successful at it, I'm not saying it is an absolute, you know, you absolutely must have a set piece coach and you're doomed if you don't. But
look at the way they did it pre-Scott Fry and the way they've done it post-Scott Fry. You can see the difference. He'll need to catch up a wee bit. He's not as good as that wee guy from Arsenal who's always out jumping about with Mikel Arteta.
Oh, he gets a lot of headlines.
He's not as good as Austin McPhee, who I think booked the other day for throwing the ball onto the lady.
Should have
play.
Been sent off, I saw, apparently.
Listen, you're Willie's pal. I'll let you, I'll defer to your superior refereeing knowledge.
Next Willie show's coming up, by the way.
Is it?
Mm.
When?
I can reveal soon.
Should be a cracker.
Oh, there's lots to talk about.
Nah, not as much as previous months, I don't think. Although this weekend was a bit lively.
First Willie show this year?
Yep. New year, new Willie.
That's what I like to hear.
You could say. Anyway, it's kind of thrown us off a little bit. Graham, the last Rangers fan, was very confident. Said Hearts were irrelevant. He knew way back Celtic wouldn't stay there. How do you feel about Rangers' title chances now?
I think they're in with a shout now. I don't think Hearts are irrelevant. I watched them yesterday, mate. The way they defend that box, the only way you're going to beat them is playing through them, because you're not going to beat them with crosses into the box. They won everything. They're outstanding.
They did.
Celtic have got Martin and go back, and they'll kick on for there. And it's just, I think it's more what we do. If we can get the right, a penalty box strike and a wide right player, I think we could. I could go at it.
The thing is, we can't shake this because it's not really developed enough. We keep saying whatever team has the best window might be the favourite, and so far, because we knew Hearts would have a kind of methodical early approach to it, they have. Graham's on saying he wants a penalty box striker and a wide right player. Mm-hmm. Rangers, what's the latest rumour? You've got
Scott Olsen.
Have they not been linked with him for about the last 15 transfer windows?
I think he was a big target for Steven Gerrard.
So back as far as that,
how long ago that was?
The midfielder came in at the weekend. The Sunderland duo, sum up that side of it.
Yeah, we're fully expecting them to be active in this window. I did think a striker would be high in the priority list, though, so I'd be slightly interested in the fact that out of all the names that we've heard so far, there's not been that number nine. But that being said, we still have a fair amount of time to go. But it's good to see that Rangers are active. You're seeing loads of names. It's more on the other side of the city that seems to be really quiet.
Yeah, Celtic fans, let us know your thoughts on that. Roger, Rangers have, like we said, they've started doing business now. More to come, I assume.
Oh yeah, I think there'll be plenty more to come during the month. Linked with a lot of players. Dan Neil, Romain Mundell at Sunderland. I think Tor Romans, the Westerlo left back, will probably be in the next 24 hours. And the one that's intrigued fans is Andreas Skov-Olsen, probably because, as you say, you know, Rangers seem to have been chasing him in so many windows. He's probably as close now as he's ever been to a deal.
How likely do you think that one is?
I would say it's 50-50.
Okay.
I think maybe...
Come off.
I would imagine Finlay Curtis is heading out to Kilmarnock on loan. And what I would say is, when I was talking to people yesterday, they were a bit sceptical about Skov-Olsen. There does seem to be a bit more optimism today.
Okay. Yes, thoughts on the January transfer window. Get them in, please. 01419511025. Stephen is on the other line. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, guys. Hope you're well.
Yep, good for you.
A quick point. It's regarding the VAR and the officiating. I'm kind of going with the two games, the Celtic game and the Rangers game here. We'll go with the Rangers game. The Fernandez goal, I don't know how that couldn't be given. When Fernandez is looking at the ball, he has to jump with his arms near. That's the way you can only get up that height. You've got to have some sort of arm movement. The keepers went for the ball as well. It's such a strange decision. And then we're looking across the water at the other side, and then you've got Celtic.
Let's do them in isolation, Stephen, just so that we can make sure we answer your point. I know, and I think I know what decision you're getting to, so it's not that I'm covering it up. Right, Fernandez.
It's a goal.
Interesting. Stephen says it's strange. I actually don't think it's strange, because goalies have been protected since the dawn of time. Pre-VAR, post-VAR, every league in the world, it feels like goalies get a lot of protection. So I don't think it's strange, but is it right or is it wrong?
It's a goal. It's a poor decision. Manny Fernandez jumps with his arms. Dimitar Mitov jumps with his arms. Manny Fernandez gets up higher, heads the ball. Mitov misses it. It is a goal. It actually took me back to the one Motherwell Kilmarnock early in the season, and Callum Ward went up for one and didn't get it, and there was a kind of bundling at the back post, and the goal was given.
I don't think that's a good comparison. Because I don't think that was a foul on Callum Ward that day.
I think it's a goal yesterday.
Andy, we've seen a few of these. I remember Tony Watt on Jack Butland.
That was worse.
I remember that when Hearts came to Ibrox earlier this season, what theme runs through all of them is the decision goes to the goalie usually.
Yeah.
What did you think of yesterday?
Oh, it's a goal. It's a goal all day long for me. I think Emmanuel Fernandez does everything right. He's got his eyes on the ball. He's aggressive. He gets up nice and early and he uses his arm for leverage. Mm-hmm. And listen, Mitov flies 14 yards out his goal line to try and contest the ball. At no point does Mitov have the ball in his hands when Emmanuel Fernandez then makes contact of him. So for me, I think one was a lot stronger than the other going for a header. But I'll take your point, absolutely, that for a long, long time we've seen this with goalies. But the fact that Kevin Clancy didn't blow for a foul and then it was intervened, for me, I thought it was a wrong decision.
Boring when you two agree, because it means I need to take the other side. These are never all the same. That's the point. We sometimes pretend that they are. Is there anything in? There clearly is something in the fact that Manny Fernandez's arm moves the arm of Mitov on the way up. Does that make sense? That's clearly what they've felt was the because I remember the Butland on the Tony Watt one, which you'll all imagine how I felt about it with it being in North Lanarkshire. It was a kind of hand over the shoulder.
Took an assist away from me.
Exactly, a rare one. It feels like once you see, and this is rightly or wrongly, Stephen, and you guys are all on the same page, once you see Fernandez's arm move Mitov's arm, do you know what I mean, as he tries to catch the ball, I feel like that's always getting given.
But do you know that the only thing I think is then impossible to ever allow a goal there, because it can't avoid contact with Mitov. I think
I agree. I think what I mean is, I think when the contact specifically on the arm,
me, I think when he's up that high and his arm's in a natural position to use it as leverage, I think if he then, you know, he's under Mitov and his arm's up in the air and it moves. I think that for me is a completely different scenario. I just don't think Emmanuel Fernandez can do anything differently.
He just jumps higher. He just times his jump better. His arm is above Mitov's arm. Mitov then moves his arm up and can't get to the ball because of Fernandez's arm. Fernandez hasn't done anything wrong. Fernandez is not deliberately fouling Mitov. He's just jumped higher and better and stronger. And he's won the header. Look at Mitov at Ibrox the other night when he comes out. That's just, he's not particularly, he's a very good shot stopper, as you saw in the game. He's not particularly proficient at coming and claiming those balls
into the
box. Just
because we're running a bit late, Stephen, give us your other incident.
It was just regarding the Celtic challenge, their new right back, the Mexican international. Yeah. What are you thinking? That all day red card. And this is where I'm going with my points here. Is VAR making too many wrong decisions here? We're looking at a few different aspects of the game here. So there's a one there with a goal being chopped off, and now we're looking at a very bad challenge.
So this is
too many mistakes.
Julian Araujo challenge on Will Ferry. A clear red, says Stephen. What did you think?
I thought it was a yellow card.
You're asking the guy, doesn't think it's a red card. If it was a red card, no red card for me. I actually think, initially I thought it was a red card just because of how out of control he was, how reckless he was. But I actually think when you watch back, I don't think he catches him flush above the ankle, which is always kind of the barometer for VAR. I actually think he more catches his foot. So, but what I will say, I think he's very lucky because, like I said, I thought it was a red in full speed. The red could have been given in full speed. If that happened, will there then have been an intervention? But for me, I thought the yellow card was the right call.
I know this might surprise people because it's the word we always bemoan. I think there actually is a wee bit of consistency in these. It tends to be that if the contact is in the foot, it's deemed reckless and a yellow. Anything above, see Colby Donovan at Easter Road, see Derek Cornelius at Hampden. It feels like foot on foot contact always seems to end in yellow,
yeah,
and then anything higher goes red. But who knows, we can all agree to disagree. Thank you to Stephen on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go on. More life-changing cash to be won on Make Me a Winner this week, £275,000. Enter now for your chance to win. You text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules for this network competition are there as well, although it is over 18s only. You can also call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. The lines close 5pm Friday the 16th of January. It's so simple. If we call, you pick up the phone, the £275,000 would be yours. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Had a wee bit of everything already on this Monday night. Craig Gordon's save. I'd still like to hear some thoughts on the phones on that one. With a January window, Rangers and Aberdeen at the weekend, bit of refereeing decisions, and we've still got over an hour to go. What more could you want? Mark is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Mark?
Well, I'm fine. Good evening, gents.
Hey, Mark.
Guys? What are you thinking tonight, Mark?
Yeah, just the usual when they talk about Celtic. You know, I was at the game on Saturday. I was actually surprised how well they played, considering they've had a bit of a do in the last wee while. So it's good that Martinelli's back and Sean Maloney's back. The team's got a bit of structure. They played some fantastic football. My point was about Celtic, and I wanted to kind of briefly talk to Andy about what he thinks of Stephen Welsh coming back, and then how he, obviously that will impact maybe Motherwell a wee bit, but the impact it's going to have in Celtic, considering we're trying to get a centre half in, I think, and a striker and a winger.
Oh, this will be good, Mark. It's a great question. Andy and I exchanged various communications last night when the Stephen Welsh news broke, so I know how he feels. I'm wondering how he's going to put it politely on radio, though.
Well, obviously my priority is Motherwell, and Stephen Welsh has been a huge part of our success this season, so he's going to be a miss. Obviously I have the thought in the back of my head that I hope that Celtic now go and sign three centre halves if possible, and there might be that option that we can get them back to the end of the season. I think it's potentially best for all parties as well. Celtic are still actively looking for players. I think centre half will probably be one of them, and Stephen Welsh is, you'd need to ask maybe him, but arguably enjoying his best ever season.
Maybe they're just trying to weaken a title rival.
Well, listen, I did chuckle earlier on when Celtic put out Twitter confirmation that they recalled Stephen from Motherwell. I think it was a Hearts fan account retweeted it and said, "This is a major statement of intent in the fight for third."
Before we get into that, what did you make of it? Because Mark's right, what does that mean? Is he going back to play? Is he going back as cover? Is he going back to be sold? If it is cover, does that mean he could return to Motherwell once the Celtic gets somebody in? What's your reading of it?
My understanding at the minute is he's back as cover. If Martinelli's playing a back four, as he will, you've only got two recognised first team centre halves, and Dean Murray as cover at the minute, with Carter Vickers out.
Any chance one of them's got a wee injury and that sped this up?
I wouldn't rule that out. But if you look at the situation, you know, I think Simpson Pusey is away.
He is.
And Amura is away. So they are down in numbers. I think they're looking to bring in a centre-half Celtic during the window. That could impact on Stephen Welsh's future if they get a centre back in. I think Stephen Welsh could theoretically go back to Motherwell. But for now, I think they feel they need him for, you know, just to get numbers up, Gordon.
Mark, as much as I love his contribution this season, Stephen Welsh's return to Celtic will not be Celtic's biggest piece of transfer news this window, you wouldn't imagine. Are you annoyed or relaxed about the no striker being in yet?
I'm annoyed at the fact that I'm annoyed. I believe they're going to get one in, but I'm slightly annoyed because Celtic have had 12 months to get a striker in, let's have it right, since last January. And then they've sold another striker in the summer. No matter how people thought they had Amida, they let him go as well. The guy they brought in, he looks like a bit of a player, but he isn't. He can't keep himself fit. So Martinelli's came in even before the derby, the Glasgow derby a couple of weeks ago. You know, you were thinking if Celtic had any ambition whatsoever, they'd have had a striker in to give them a bit of a hand. They haven't done that. We've got a game against Falkirk, which isn't an easy game away from home. I watched Celtic at the weekend. They played some fantastic football and they opened up Dundee United at will. However, when you're playing tougher games away from home or you're playing bigger sides and they disrespect them and they're camped in, and they've got good defenders like Halkett, like we've talked about earlier on, mm-hmm. and the Rangers boys, big strong guys, you need a centre forward in there to find them in the box, you know, and Celtic yeah. haven't got that.
Mark knows
that as well.
Yeah, Mark's sounds quite relaxed in the sense he's confident Celtic will get a striker. And you're surprised they haven't yet? Kyogo went and scored, didn't he, for Birmingham at the weekend?
No, I'm not surprised. If you've watched Celtic in previous transfer windows, they do tend to do a lot of their business toward the end of the window. Or okay, in Calais, after the window.
Then surprised is a bad question because you're saying surprised. You're surprised.
Well, Celtic have been better placed in the league in previous seasons than they are this year. So I thought there was more emphasis on trying to get one in the door. And,
well, as Mark says, Mark called it 12 months. You could call it three windows.
Yeah. I honestly thought they'd have one in the door by the 3rd of January. Maybe that was a bit.
No, I think circumstances work against them. If you take a step back, you know, people bang on about Jameson Analytics. Celtic don't have anything like that. Celtic will have lists there that Brendan Rodgers and John Kennedy built. They'll have lists there that Paul Tisdale built. They'll have lists there that Wilfred Nancy and Kwame Ampadu built. They'll have lists there that Sean Maloney built. Martin O'Neill will come in with Martin Fotheringham, and they'll have their own ideas. So it's not just a case of pressing a button and a signing. I think there'll be a certain type of signing that Martin O'Neill will want this window, and I don't know if that's necessarily the type of signing that either Wilfred Nancy or Brendan Rodgers would have brought in.
Are you confident they'll get it though? Because
they'll have to get it. There is, yeah, there is no alternative.
But fans would tell you they had to get one in the summer.
More than ever before. As Andy says in the past, what's got them a stay of execution is the fact that quite often at this time of year they're 10 points clear. This is the biggest window I can remember for Celtic, because there is as you found out in the first hour of the show, there is a genuine chance they might not win this league. Whether it's Hearts, whether it's Rangers, there is a genuine chance Celtic might not win this league. And if they do not bring in a striker for Martin O'Neill in the month of January, wow.
But then, Andy, that goes back to the next thing. They're bringing one in, but then how good is said one? You know, because that's the bit that Celtic have maybe also struggled with in recent windows. There was a time when they just got so much right in terms of the quality of player brought in. Been a bit trickier in recent times.
Yeah, and I kind of compared it to when you look back at Ange Postecoglou's first year at Celtic. I think at this point in time in the season, Rangers were ahead in the title race. I actually think it might have been as much as 7 points. And Celtic in that January transfer window brought in Rio Hatate, Dyson Maeda and Matt O'Reilly, and they went on to win the league due to the recruitment in that January transfer window. Now, I'd actually argue it's more prevalent now than it was back then that the same players, especially in that number 9 area that we've been speaking about. And the only real name that we've heard of so far has been Kyogo, and that's already seeming to die away. So, I mean, I'm imagining they're working hard in the background to get somebody else in, but I would have thought there'd been a bit more push to try and get one in now we're in the 12th of January.
Thank you very much to Mark. He thinks Celtic will get one in. Roger says they have to. Andy's surprised. I can imagine a real split or a real swell of opinion on this. We've got a studio guest, Paul. He's raging about Celtic's lack of signing so far, he was telling us before we started. But anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. There are some important ears on this. You need the popularity of this competition. I was out at Falkirk today. John McGlynn doing great things, maybe in the shortlist for manager of the year come end of the season. Said I'll be listening tonight.
He never misses the show.
Beat the Pundit's his favourite. And I gave you to the big build up. I said Monday night is A-list. Very good question, John. Give us a call. But the standard is
quite literally.
I'd like that.
But what I did say to him is that I admire the fact that on a Monday it doesn't put people off. They want to phone, they want to take on the big dogs, they want to try and topple them. So let's see what we've got. The lines here do close at 7, and you need to give us a call on 0141 951 1025. We'll play Beat the Pundit next.
0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Plenty to get through. It was a busy weekend. That Craig Gordon save, a vital win for Hearts, a routine win for Celtic, probably somewhat of a routine win as well for Rangers, especially on the road. It's the January transfer window. There's always refereeing decisions to discuss on a Monday, so anything you want to get off your chest, let's hear from you now whilst we play this.
B- Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Some difficult questions tonight, and a bit of incentive for you. The pundits could get their 100th win of the season. Oh, it says this week. I thought it was tonight. I was excited there. But so you'd need to win every night this week to make it up to 100, I think, for the week. So we'll see how you go on. You two could get the ball rolling.
Well, do a game.
Have you played the last few, have you?
A right few in a row.
Have you played since that shock defeat that you had?
No,
I can't remember.
And it was a Wednesday, wasn't it, on a Monday?
So it was.
I'm not sure.
He was out of sorts. Dominic is in Castlemilk. How's it going, Dominic?
All right, boys, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, Dominic.
Have you ever played this before, Dominic? Do you just play along at home? What's your story?
I just play along in a house.
How do you tend to do?
Not too bad. Could be worse.
Not too bad, could be worse. Seems like quite a... That's a good assessment to me. You don't want to end it. Come on and be too confident, do you? Because that can only go one way. So I like Dominic's style. Toss the coin, Dominic. If it is the blue side, it will be Andy Halliday. If it is the red side, it will be Roger Hanna. And they both start on minus one, which is always nice as well. And it is. There you go. He's back. Tony Orlando tribute act himself.
It's coming.
Mr. Roger Hanna. You okay with that?
I'll never live this down.
You're right, you won't.
I'll never hear the end of this.
Listen, if you're going to be a karaoke sensation, you don't deserve to live it down. That's the way I see it.
Sensation's maybe stretching it somewhat.
I actually got sent the most, by a mile, one that I genuinely couldn't even dream of showing in the show.
Uh-huh.
Disturbing alleged lookalike of you the other day.
Oh dear.
No, like so, so bad.
That can't be good.
Like, surely.
The last lookalike I get sent was Ed Balls.
Oh, I can see that.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
I don't know who that is.
Politician.
Oh, I definitely don't know who that is.
Was on Strictly. Was he on Strictly?
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely don't know who that
is. No, this is like... I was going to say not suitable for a family show. Not suitable for any show. And I really... I didn't want to reply to the guy on Twitter because then that would give it fuel.
Is that same at you, Roger?
But I need to know. I need to know where this guy got this picture.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's anyway. Definitely not me.
all I'll say is you'll be hoping it's not you.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, you sure it's maybe during the next break?
Yeah. Anyway, I did send it to David Friel, right, which shows you that he obviously really respects you as your boss.
He's in a difficult couple of days.
Because you're his boss, he was obviously too scared to expose it to you for want of a for want of a better expression. Outrageous. Right, I'll get the questions ready. Anyway, right, give Roger something else to listen to. 30 seconds on the clock to Dominic. Dominic, sorry about that. Your time starts now. What was the score in Martin O'Neill's first ever Old Firm game, August 2000?
6-2.
Who left Rangers permanently for Birmingham in August 2024?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish Premiership team who've lost their last four league games.
Oh, Dundee.
In what year did Inverness last play in the Scottish top flight?
2018.
Who was the last team Craig Gordon played against before Hearts yesterday?
Celtic.
Who sponsored the Scottish Cup from 89 to 07?
Lennox.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, you ready?
Yes.
You start on minus one. Look at that image in my head. Why did I do that? 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What was the score in Martin O'Neill's first Old Firm game, August 2000?
6-2.
Who left Rangers permanently for Birmingham in August 2024?
Bakuna.
Name the only Scottish Premiership team who've lost their last four league games.
Aberdeen.
In what year did Inverness last play in the Scottish top flight?
2021.
Who was the last team Craig Gordon played against before Hearts yesterday?
Denmark.
Who sponsored the Scottish Cup from 89 to 07?
Tennent.
Okay. Dominic, what are you thinking? What's the verdict, Dominic?
Questions.
They were hard.
Maybe just beat me.
They were very hard tonight. I don't know what sort of misery has befallen the producers over the weekend.
I've not heard Dominic's answers. I'm beat tonight.
Really?
I lost tonight. Definitely.
Okay. You would have got the first one. who, what was the score in Martin O'Neill's first ever Old Firm game, August 2000? It was 6-2. I think everyone
I got the next one as well.
Remembers that one. You both got it, which means Roger Hanna stays behind because he's on minus one. Who left Rangers permanently for Birmingham in August 2024?
Was it Scott Wright?
Scott Wright.
Oh, no, I'd have been all
day. That's hard. Very hard.
I was thinking Darrell and Davis and this and that.
I'm out.
You're still ahead, Dominic. The only Premiership team who've lost the last four is Aberdeen. Dominic, I know Dundee lost yesterday, but they had won their previous three. That was quite tricky though, because you would maybe be drawn towards, like, I know Livy drew at the weekend, but you'd be drawn towards.
In my head.
Yeah, there we go. It's Aberdeen. So Roger Hanna gets it, which means equaliser. In what year did Inverness last play in the Premiership? It's 2017. He gave them quite a bit. Again, hard. Really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I hate those questions.
Especially Dominic was only 1 year out, so I'm afraid no half points on offer. Who was the last team Craig Gordon played against before Hearts, Dominic? It was a memorable one, but maybe not memorable enough. It is Denmark. And the trap you're falling into, you're thinking domestically.
That's exactly what I thought.
It's sneaky. The producers are at it tonight. I don't know what we're getting to them. But you did know, Dominic, that Tenants were the sponsor of the Scottish Cup from 89 to 07. So you got two on the board. Roger got four. Takeaways minus one. He has still pipped you. Hard lines. That was all right, though.
Not a bad
Close problem. Enough.
Take that against Roger Hanna.
Exactly. Take it against Roger Hanna.
Dominic, I'm going through to this producer's office to find out what's going on.
I know. I thought they were.
Give them a word for me.
They were very difficult. Dominic, who's your team?
Celtic.
What are you thinking of January transfers? The last caller was quite confident you'd still get a striker in. How are you feeling?
Not really sure how to feel. But obviously, with what's going on with the board and that, I've no confidence in them. I don't think many people do. And even at that, I think it'll just be paper near the cracks. Kind of see them getting Martin O'Neill a full squad to work with if they're going to replace him in August.
What do you think about that, Roger? We spoke quite a lot last week about the various factors that may make life difficult for Celtic. We don't know that they will, but firstly, Paul Tisdale was here and now he's not. Wilfried Nancy was here and now he's not. Sean Maloney apparently taking a heavy role in recruitment, according to Martin O'Neill. One thing that I don't think we actually did discuss too much was, does the fact that Martin O'Neill isn't here beyond the end of the season negatively impact attempts at signing players on 3-4 year deals, whatever it may be?
No, because I think the club will be signing their players. I think even if Martin goes in the summer, and after the season we've had, who's to say he's going to go in the summer?
I think even he seemed pretty sure, didn't he?
I'm half kidding. Sean will still be there. Sean Maloney will still be there. It wouldn't surprise me if, come the start next season, Sean Maloney is in a highly significant position in the football department at Celtic, whether that is the head of football operations, whether that is head coach, whether that is whatever. So if Sean Maloney is driving the recruitment, as Martin says he is, and we believe he is, then I think the players will be targeted and will try and bring them in.
So he provides the continuity then, because you said you know, the club signs them, which I get. But usually that means a sporting director, a director of football.
There is no continuity. As I said earlier on, you know, they'll have lists there from Brendan Rodgers and John Kennedy. They'll have lists from Wilfried Nancy. They'll have lists from Paul Tisdale. They'll have Sean's own lists of players. And now, you know, Martin will have an influence on all this. So what Celtic need is continuity, because they haven't had that continuity, Gordon. They need somebody like Sean to come in and start driving recruitment so that, you know, so that we don't get into every transfer window and, you know, Dominic's on the phone saying, why haven't Celtic got a centre forward? Why haven't Celtic got a right winger? Why haven't Celtic got a left back? They need somebody to drive recruitment to a level where Celtic are not losing out on players, and where there's a proper flow in and out of players to make the squad better in each window.
Yeah, I completely get that, but my understanding was, you know, Sean Maloney was still working quite closely with Paul Tisdale, so I still thought there would be an element of continuity with the shortlist that they had coming into this window. Now, my reference was, I thought it was that matter of urgency that I thought had been done by the 3rd of January when Nancy was still in charge, and now it's not, now it's Martin O'Neill. I just assumed there would still be a fairly similar list getting presented to Martin O'Neill in terms of strikers. Like we said, we're still past a week later, and you always talk about no smoke without fire. There's just not really many names at all. We were talking earlier at the top of the show about the boy for Lorient in France.
Yeah, Mohamed Bamba.
Shed any light on that, but that seems to be the only real name that we've heard outside of Kyogo.
I mean, Dominic, I think once it gets to the end of the window as well, because it can be difficult, you know, you're maybe shopping in different markets. Is it going to need to be a player that's been playing or is sort of right up to speed? Because what if you're going to leave it to the end of the window, you certainly don't, you presumably can't allow then another period where that player has to get fit or whatever, or get back to match sharpness.
Aye, you can't bring in a player that needs brought up to speed. We need a number nine. We need about five positions right in the door who'll get right into the team straight away. Somebody who's ready to actually give the team a lift instead of signing £2 million players, £1 million players to leagues that need in Saturday and Merso players that need in Saturday. Mm-hmm. We could be doing with a marquee signing.
Don't get me wrong, Roger, like Arojo, who we discussed earlier, he had only played once this season. It was a League Cup game, Bournemouth, and got sent off.
Yeah.
But he was in a place where he could come on in his first game and then start the next game. So it's not that it's impossible, but it is another factor, isn't it, in January. Are you taking someone else's star man? Are you taking somebody that's played every week for a team and is a main man? What does that cost you? Do you go for a player who's actually at a higher level, so deep down might be quote unquote a better player, but maybe he's rusty, maybe he's not played? Now Ian Acho would be like probably the most extreme example of that, because you're going to get a guy who, you know, was literally a free agent and can't seem to stay fit at the moment. So interesting to see which avenue, you know, which kind of box the signing falls into.
Listen, Callum Wilson's mentioned last week, I think he's leaving West Ham, but for me that's just a natural mark too. It's a guy who hasn't played a lot, has a patchy injury record, and you couldn't really hang your hat on. Celtic needs somebody to come in. I think Celtic sign a centre forward, he will be a guy probably aged between 24 and 29. I'm not saying he's going to have played a lot of football this season, but there'll be somebody that they believe will be able to go into the team and improve the team straight away. There's not going to be any project signings this month under Martin O'Neill, believe me.
You worried that any of your talented Motherwell teammates get taken away? Not necessarily by Celtic. What's it like in a window when you've got teammates or like there's so many are contributing?
It's only natural. There's going to be murmurs, there's going to be interest, whether that's the manager or the players. One thing's for sure, I think gone are the days a club in Scotland and hopefully Motherwell falls into that bracket, which I believe they do, are selling their assets on the cheap. You know, you look at the price that Lennon Miller went for in the summer. Tawanda Maswanisi is now sitting in the top goal scorer in the division, to use him as an example. So if somebody was going to coming and try and buy him for Motherwell, it'll be a pretty penny.
Call it 10 million, then we'll talk. Thank you to Dominic on the line. Let's go to Ben, who's on the other line. How's it going, Ben?
How's things, guys? All right.
Good to hear, Ben. Are you a Hearts fan, Ben?
I am indeed.
Right, go for it. The floor is yours. Craig Gordon, talk to me.
Oh, I mean, I think the volume of calls that have been coming in from fans out with Hearts, just commending the save, tells you just how good it was at 43-year-old to come on and do that. He's definitely saved us. He gained us 2 points yesterday. That was actually the reason for my call. Just thought McInnes is spot on when he said that's the biggest 3 points of the season. They're the kind of games that win you titles. Going down to 10 men in the first half, seeing it out, managing a game like that the way he did, and to come away for a team who'd won 3 in the bounds, with playing 10 men for more than 45 minutes to get 3 points was absolutely brilliant. That's the kind of stuff that the likes of Celtic have been doing year in, year out. That's won titles even when they're not at their best. When things aren't going for them, still grinding at results and coming away with 3 points. And that's what we seem to be doing this season.
Aesthetically, it was such a good save, I think, for I don't know how many years, but I think you'll be able to just say, won't you? Remember that Craig Gordon save?
Yeah.
Everybody will know what you mean. When I can't think of any other save. Well, you mentioned Andy Gorham, there's maybe one or two. I can't, let's say over the last 10, 15 years, could you really remember it? If folk could go, remember that save?
Yeah, yeah.
And it just comes off the top of your head. But to expand further, it is an absolute guarantee if Hearts win this league, how many times is that save going to get mentioned as being, you know, a kind of key moment or whatever?
And what will fascinate me, he'll obviously play Wednesday night against St Mirren.
It's a one-game ban, isn't it?
Schwolo's suspended. He might well play Saturday night against Falkirk. He might be the cup keeper, depending on what Derek McInnes thinks.
Surely.
Does Schwolo automatically come back into the team? I don't know.
He probably will, won't he?
I think he's been the best goalkeeper in the league. And by the way, probably has to be to be keeping Craig Gordon out of the team.
Would he have made that save yesterday?
Well, I think it's so difficult to say. Probably not. But and I'm taking nothing away from the fairy tale and the storyline, but Craig Gordon, so much as last year, still had a couple of high profile errors without the season. But he's always got these wonder moments. These scratch your head how he does that. I think my very first Edinburgh derby was the empty stadium Hampden semi final at Hibs, and a couple of the saves he made that night always stick to memory. I always think you mentioned about that save. One that actually always pops into my head is Craig Gordon's for Sunderland.
No, that good save of the what was it? Decade or something.
By the way, Ben, 8 or 9 days ago, you had 27 goalkeepers at Hamp. Now you've managed to send Harry Stone out to Airdrie. Liam McFarlane's away out on loan again. Xander Clark's gone to Doncaster alone, and Schwallow's suspended, and I think Ryan Fulton might still be injured. Not even sure who's going to be back up to Craig on Wednesday night.
Jim McDonald.
No. Well, I'm kind of hoping that, obviously, given the suspension and with the World Cup coming up, and I actually thought, similar to what you said, that Craig Gordon would get utilised for the Cup. I think that conversation might have been had already with McInnes, given the fact the World Cup's around the corner, and saying that, look, you're going to be number two, and that's why I need you here, and you can't go elsewhere, but you'll play the Scottish Cup. I kind of thought that would be the game plan, but if he keeps pulling off saves like that, he'll play the next game when suspended. He might play against Falkirk on Saturday anyway, and then he could end up finding himself back as number one, because if he continues to, you know, pull off saves like that and keeps clean sheets, let's say, in the two games coming up this week, there's no reason to put him back on the bench. What I was going to say in terms of the title race, I've been on a couple of times this season. I phoned actually very early doors, and I don't know if you recall, Gordon Dale said absolutely no chance. And when I phoned back a couple of months later, he said, no, I never said that. And Gordon Dale said, no, that is word for word what you said.
Well, you'll find that Gordon Dale doesn't necessarily have the best grasp of what he has or hasn't done in the past. That's worth bearing in mind.
Well, I think it's going to come down to the head-to-head games. If we can beat Celtic next Sunday and get something at Ibrox, I think the league's ours. I don't know if you've noticed as well in this run of fixtures before the split, we have Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs and Falkirk, so the rest of the top six basically in Aberdeen all at home. How they've fallen, so that's going to massively favour us as well. It's going to come down to these big games against Celtic home next Sunday and going to Ibrox. And I think if Hearts can get through the next two and have played six games against Old Firm and stay undefeated, or better yet, win 6-6, I think it's Hearts league.
It's an interesting look. I'm sure we'll do all this. We'll build it up when that fixture comes around. But yeah, see, if it was to stay the way it is just now, and then Hearts were to win that game against Celtic, are we at the stage then? You would say Celtic couldn't catch Hearts?
No,
not yet.
I wouldn't say couldn't catch.
What would it be? 9?
Yeah,
9 if that was to happen.
But I might eventually get an answer off of him after if that day
That's
eventually
true.
Comes.
He's still
going
to win
it. There are still far, far too many key fixtures, key head-to-heads. Still to be played this season.
There'll be one more though between Celtic and Hearts, so after that, I think that's the point that Ben's trying to make.
Yeah, but Hearts would have two against Rangers. They would also still have two against Hibs, who have caused them a little bit of problems.
Not beaten Motherwell yet this season.
Two against Motherwell, who were 3-0 up at Tynecastle. So I think there's a long, long way to go.
I'd love for us to get an answer at them.
They will in mid-May.
There's no point trying to influence things you can't influence.
It's
a wonderful just enjoy the title race.
Enjoy the title race, knowing that you won't tell us who you think will win.
Exactly.
It's ruining it for me.
Listen, there's no point going early, you know, in predictions like this.
Just on Craig Gordon, Roger, you almost forget some of the fairy tale elements to this guy's career. Andy mentioned that save of the season or whatever it was against Bolton. That was way, way back when he was Scotland's most expensive export and the most expensive goalkeeper in Britain, I think. Get to 2013, he's not played for, is it 2 years? He's on the coaching staff at Dumbarton.
Yeah.
There are comments about
almost signed for Rangers,
about retiring and never playing again. That was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, he's gone and won titles at Celtic. He has then had another horrific injury.
He's retired from Scotland.
Come back to Scotland, plays in the game that gets Scotland to the World Cup, goes and does this. I hope there is a movie at some point, because it will be quite something.
I was at Lennox Town the day Celtic signed him, and he came in and he spoke to us, and I'm sure he said that there were discussions. I think when, you know, footballers get retired out of the game through injury, you know, there'll be insurance payouts to them as well, you know, in lieu of wages, the future wages that they lost. And I think he was in discussions with an insurance company about getting the payout for retiring early at 30. And he went to Dumbarton. I think he had a couple of training sessions at Rangers. I think Ali McCoys was talking about trying to sign him for Rangers at the time, and Celtic came in with the offer and he went there, and he has never looked back. And when you get through things like that and you fear your career's over at 29 or 30, no wonder you don't want to give it up when you're 43 and you want to keep going as long as you can. And if he plays at the World Cup finals in the summer, as I think he will, the eyes of the world will fall on him. You know, there are people in Brazil and Argentina and France and Spain and Italy who'll say, look, this guy's 43 and he's playing in the World Cup.
Incredible. Second oldest player ever, I think, in the World Cup.
I was there at, 2022 at Tannadice when he smashed his kneecap as well. Yeah. And at that point in time, he was, I think he must have been 39 or 40 potentially. And you have that feeling, I think, as a teammate, Gordon, when you see the type of injury it was. I think it was Christmas Eve, a boxing day.
Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, because I don't think he got home until the early hours of Christmas Day, you know, with the leg all
It was one of the injuries, especially okay, Gordon's age at the time, at the stage of his career, where everyone just unitedly thought, that's probably him. And then, 3-4 years later, just look how wrong we were.
Thank you to Ben. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here at 0141 951 1025. Got a good teaser for you. It's got 11 answers on it, which normally is too many for me, but I think they're not that difficult, and you two love quizzing, so I think you'll scoosh your way through it. Thanks to Paul for sending it in. And just a reminder, you need to email us if you've got an idea, you think you can come up with a teaser that will stump the pundits. The email address is fulltime@clyde1.com. So 11 players who've played for Celtic or Rangers are currently playing in Germany. Who are they? 11 players who've played for Celtic or Rangers currently playing in Germany. Nice easy ones to kick you off, surely.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's not like you two to be silent off the bat.
Vaslav Cherny.
No, he's in Turkey.
No.
He's in Turkey, is he?
What has happened to you? That picture of you that I get sent has rocked you. That's got your skin.
Is Tillman still in Holland? The Netherlands,
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think he might be.
Tillman.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Leverkusen, there you go. Well done.
You two are miles off it tonight. I'm surprised.
Uh-huh. 11 as well?
I know. I was going to cut it down to 8. Because I was going to distinguish between Bundesliga and Bundesliga
Juranovic.
2. Yes, he is at Union Berlin. Do you know what we should do for this? We should get Derek Ray on, who's been on loads of times, to pronounce the team names properly. Oh, it's
how good would that be?
So good. I wouldn't even dream of it. Although your Lutz is good. What's he again, the Aberdeen?
Lutz Fahnenstiel.
I think Derek would like that.
The penguin pilferer.
No, he doesn't like it when you discuss the penguins.
I don't care.
Do you think he regrets that?
No.
Oh, I'm certain he does.
No.
I don't mean the incident. I mean the publishing of it. Did he not put it in his book or something?
Yeah, it's in his book. Listen, if you're going to pinch a penguin and hide it in your bath, then you're going to write about it in your book.
That's a fair point.
Moritz Jens?
Yes, let's leave it there then. Moritz Jens is at Wolfsburg, Josip Juranovic, Union Berlin, and Malik Tillman at Bayer Leverkusen, which means 3 down, 8 to go on the former Celtic Rangers players currently playing in Germany. Robert is a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, Robert?
I'm very pleased with the result last night. I was confident that we would get the result, and I didn't think we'd be going to Petardry, being able to say that anytime soon. I didn't realise it was quite 3 years since he'd last beaten us, but I knew it was a long time. But it's the fact that we went there and we'd done it with a margin to spare, and really looked as though the injury, particularly with the injury I think we had in midfield, that raised a big question mark. And for me, you wouldn't have noticed that there was any missing from the midfield. If anything, it looked stronger. And I think that's one of the kind of main things that came from it for me, was that we showed right away that they can adapt and step some. I'm not tactically clever enough to work out who was actually playing in there in the first place, but I certainly didn't miss Conor Barron last night.
Oh, jeez, you really want me to ask these two who wants to answer a question about Rangers midfield tactics? Go on. Andrew, take it away.
As I said, I thought that was I thought for me that was the most comfortable performance and result under Danny Rowe, given the venue, how difficult it's been for Rangers over a period of years. I thought in possession, I thought they bypassed the midfield quite a bit in the first half, which was understandable given how rough the conditions were. I thought in the second half, I thought Diamandé and Raskin were extremely good. They created almost like a box midfield by Jade Magoma being high and wide on the left-hand side, Tav tucking in as a third centre-half, and then Gassama holding the width on the right-hand side. And then I thought the dynamic movement between Moore, Asgard in behind Aberdeen's midfield, and then Raskin and Diamandé to go on the ball and try and play forward, I thought was extremely good. And like he says, 2-0, obviously, like me and Roger have said, we wrongly think the Fernandes goal was disallowed, and then created plenty of chances the last 15-20 minutes to make it more comfortable as well.
Taylor Asgard scored a nice goal. Like, isn't it? We gave praise to the set-piece coach earlier, but he's the one that has to finish it. He's got a couple now. Is he starting to win people round, or is that more of an overall performance thing that needs to click?
What he's doing now is he's adding goals to his game, so he's adding an end product, which I don't think there was enough of at the start of the season. And I think the general consensus, and I've said it plenty of times myself, is a lot of the frustration comes because you feel he's got so much more, and he's just not shown it enough so far. But that's 3 goals in his last 4 starts for the football club, and amongst that was a really poor first half performance against Celtic Park, where he was removed at half time. But that being said, continually felt as if he's got a lot more to offer, and he's starting to do that, especially in the final third of the pitch.
I still think he needs more. I go back to the semi-final when he was sent off the Old Firm game at Celtic Park. He got taken off at half time with Rangers 1-0 down and been moved all over the pitch. So I don't think he'd have played yesterday had Barron been fit. I think there needs to be more from Taylor Asgard. The qualities are there. He just needs to show them, and he needs to up his work rate.
What are you saying about the January business, Robert? What's in, what's rumoured, what's still needed?
Well, I seen they were rumoured to be going for Scott Walson, but obviously it's a difficult one to believe because we've been rumoured to be in for him so many times. And I think if there's any, we're probably more likely to get it over the line for somebody with slightly more money involved or a higher profile, with somebody like Danny Rowlett Charles, because I would assume, I think the guy, if he's playing in the Bundesliga, I would assume that Danny Rowlett must have a decent amount of connections over there. I would like to see him in up front. I'm not sure. I've seen them mentioned in an article linking them with Kieran Bowie. Is it Kieran Bowie at Hibs? But I've not heard it said to anybody else. I don't know whether that was true or not. But I'd like to see. I mean, his numbers certainly look good, and the age group that he is, it fits in with what we've got in the team now.
Does Scott Walson excite you, Andy?
Yeah, he does. 26 years of age, having 40 caps for Denmark. I think obviously he got a big money move to Wolfsburg for €40 million. And previously to that, obviously when you look at his numbers at Club Bruges, his numbers are exceptional on that right hand side. I've felt for years and years and years that Rangers have lacked someone to play on that right hand side. Finally got that in Vaclav Chierny, and you know that famous phrase of saying football, never fall in love with a lone player. Rangers fans done that, didn't get to keep a hold of him the season after, not replaced him again. And if Andy Skov-Olsen can be that player to come in and make a difference, whether it be loan or not, it certainly makes it value if you go on and lift the title at the end of the season.
Listen, there's no doubting his quality. I think they'll do well to get him. I think there is other competition in there. He's one I've looked at a lot. He's got a good CV, but it just shows the importance of this window. When it's a three-way title fight, Hearts already have moved to get Chesnikov in, they got Artena in, there'll be others coming in. I think they're trying to get Rogers Mato, the Ugandan striker. Celtic will try and get players in. Rangers have got Tochi Chukwane. I think Romans is coming. If they can get Scott Walton and one or two more, they'll have done their bit for Danny Rowe on the board.
Yeah, Chukwane seemed, I think maybe when a signing comes in at the weekend, Andy, it's like goes under the radar a little bit. What have you learned, what have you gleaned about him?
Well, obviously Rangers played against him this season, when he's played for Sturm Graz in the Europa League. He played against Celtic at Celtic Park, which is probably not as fond a memory for him given he was sent off on that night, but just from certain clips and seeing the profile of the player, he's obviously a big boy, he's physical, but it seems as if he's got plenty of athleticism and pace and power within that as well. I think one thing Rangers do lack in the midfield, I think they've got plenty of athleticism, but they don't lack that real physical presence in there that I think he's going to bring to the side. But obviously for Rangers' perspective, they'll hope he can come in and make a difference. I just felt if they did make a signing in the midfield area, I thought it would be a more creative, forward-thinking player. That being said, I've said it time and time again, I still don't think we know what Danny Rowe's preferred formation is. So if it's part of one of the two-hold midfield players that he's been playing with over the last few games, then certainly fits the profile.
Think Rangers can go on and win the league. Robert, how confident would you be of that happening?
I think we are going to win the league.
How sure are you?
I'm not going to come up with certainties. I'm conscious that it's a three-way fight, but I think that if we spend the right money and we keep going the way we are in the market, we'll feel more certain by the end of the window. But if we keep going this way, then I think I would say 70%
sure. 70% sure Rangers will win the league. That seems like a respectable number, certainly. For all the talk about a Rangers striker, Andy, what you still think that'll happen? You think it should happen? What do you make of Chermiti at the moment? Because he obviously has scored a couple, and then I don't know if Miovski isn't maybe the one now that people are looking at is not contributing as much as they would like. What's that department?
I still think they're in desperate need of a striker. It'll be interesting if Rangers feel like they can only bring in a striker if they manage to shift a Danilo, or less likely a Miovski. But certainly for Chermiti's case, I think there's been an upturn in performance. I think that's probably the last sort of four or five games. He showed a lot of promise in his overall play. It's certainly been much more impressive, but that being said, I still doubt that it's a striker that's going to get you 20-25 goals a season, which for me should always be the number one priority for a Rangers number nine. So I fully expect that Rangers are looking to strengthen in that position in the pitch. It just remains to be seen if they do so.
See, before we knock that game in the head, we said earlier that it's not designed to take anything away from Rangers, who are putting a good run of results, but Aberdeen and their failings and what's going on. When are they going to get a manager? What direction do you think that's going to head in? How desperately do you think they need one?
Well, they desperately need one. I'm actually surprised that they haven't got one in already. They've got Raith Rovers coming to Pittodrie on Sunday in the Scottish Cup. They are Scottish Cup holders, you may have heard. Look what happened to the FA Cup holders at the weekend, Crystal Palace. Aberdeen cannot take Dougie Emery's Raith Rovers lightly, but Aberdeen haven't scored a goal in 6.5 hours. That's very hard to do.
It's an expensive forward line, isn't it, by all intents and purposes?
Listen, Jimmy Tilleen had more money given to him than any manager in the history of the football club. And the new guy will come in to this expensively assembled squad. What's Aberdeen's best 11? What's Aberdeen's best formation? You know, you sometimes looked at Jimmy Tilleen, you thought he dumped the names into a hat at 2:45 and just picked out the first 11. You had no idea, you know, who was playing where, what the formation was going to be, how they would perform, and that's going to be a problem for his successor.
So a few minor complaints from Aberdeen fans about the penalty Rangers were awarded. What did you make of it?
I thought it was a penalty kick. I think Graham Shinney leaves his leg dangled out. I think it probably makes it look a lot worse because the way Gassama goes down, you know, he does that kind of fling his arms into their motion, but I don't think it should take away that the correct decision was made.
Roger?
It's a penalty, yeah. I mean, David Dickinson was quite close. He got it at night and he was backed up by the VAR. It's a penalty kick. You could tell by Graham Shinney's face when they, you know, they were coming away, it was a penalty kick.
Well, I mentioned the similarities to Lucas Fadinger at Ibrox, or will I put my professional hat back on and don't be a bitter football fan about it?
You can certainly ask me my opinion and my thoughts on it.
Anyway, I'm only kidding. Robert, thank you very much. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming, we'll try and get you on next.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
New year, same old Pundit Predictor. Aww. I'm getting sick of this. Honestly, right, McNair's Building Supplies, they've supported us brilliantly. They're helping, they're putting up the money. But unfortunately, Alex in Greenock was latest and he got 1 out of 3. I told you, I need the stats because we barely ever even make it to 2 out of 3.
Can I ask the games?
It was Celtic v Dundee United.
Home win.
He went home win and got it. St Mirren Falkirk, he went home win, didn't get it. Air United Airdrie, thought it was a sneaky inclusion if you ask me, but he went home win again. And it was a draw. No. Alex, come on.
That may be followed suit to his predictions, I must be
would
honest.
Would you fancy current St Mirren to beat current Falkirk?
I went a draw. I don't think they went Falkirk though.
Well, the money rolls over again. Well, it actually doesn't, the looks of it. It says on my sheet it rolls over, but I think it's staying at 1800. I've got visions that the year is 2054, Hugh Keevens is 190, and we're giving away 300 grand on the pundit predictor because we cannot get a prediction right. Please, this Friday, let's do it. Come on, let's just get three games. That's all we ask. But thanks again to McNair's Building Supplies. One out of three,
I can see shugging this show at 190.
Absolutely, he's still going strong.
Complaining about the current Celtic board. Parsimonious.
He looked a wee bit shocked though in here on Friday when he dropped the Nokia on the studio floor and it broke. Floor.
I actually didn't get a chance to tell you, I haven't seen you. Somebody came up to me at Easter Road and asked how the Nokia was.
It was huge news over the weekend, but apparently he's patched it up and it's good to go. Right, on the teaser, we're asking you for the 11 players who've played for Celtic or Rangers. There is just one little thing to be tight with. They must have made an appearance for Celtic or Rangers. Don't think it changes much for you.
I know what he's getting at here, because I'm going to say Jackson Irvin.
No, he played.
Oh, did he?
You're fine. So currently playing in Germany but played for Celtic or Rangers. Jackson Irvin, one Celtic appearance, so he's in. You've got Malik Tillman, Josip Juranovic and Moritz Jens before the break. Anymore?
Fabio Silva
currently at,
I'm not sure, I just know
Borussia Dortmund.
Dortmund, that's right.
Oli Burke
currently at,
he's had so many clubs, I think he's currently at Union Berlin.
He is. Any chance he makes it into the World Cup squad?
I would doubt it. You never know.
Could he do anything between now and end of the season, or is it like one of those that you think Steve Clark's ship has sailed with him?
Who's going to go? Adams will go, Dykes will go,
Shanklin
will
now
go. I think if there's a fourth one, I would imagine the likes of Tommy Conway and Kieran Bowie are ahead of Oli Burke.
George Hurst.
I would like to see Oli Burke go, I must admit.
Just because it's a different profile.
That blistering pace going to a World Cup finals where you don't need that.
You've got Ben Doak and Harvey Barnes.
That's a good point.
I'll tell you what, if I'm hoping for anyone, it's certainly Harvey Barnes with the form he's on.
Good race that, because you say I think there's clearly three at the moment, and that fourth one, George Hurst's been in loads of squads, so that makes
George
you think
Hurst,
he's in the driving
probably
seat.
Go, yeah, sorry,
Tommy
I forgot
Conway,
about, he will go.
Kieran Bowie, he's been in squads, yeah. So those are the ones you have to consider.
If there's a 26-man squad, I think he'll take five. So
oh, do you? All right, okay. So
I think you're looking Adams, Dykes, Shanklin and Hurst, and one other.
Ah, right, okay. I'm a bit like,
he's got a lot of goals last year, didn't he?
I don't know if it was loads or if it's just like you hear about them every now and then people make this.
I think
this.
It was 10 plus Bundesliga, I'm sure it was.
No,
he's one game as well.
I'm a bit like you. See, if we're talking about the fourth or fifth choice, why not pick somebody that's just completely different to the rest? Because the fourth or fifth choice, yeah. So you're not, you know.
But that's, I think Harvey Barnes might be your fifth
striker.
Well, I think as well, not to go too far, but obviously when the Denmark game and Ben Doak comes off so early in the game and not having another winger within the bench to come on and go almost like for like, and see how good Ben Doak is when he's playing for Scotland. So just that similar type profile with pace and power in the way.
Anyway, we need to tidy it. There's loads from the weekend. We never get through it all on a Monday. It's impossible. What else have we not done? How would you feel about the Dundee complaints about the goal Hart score, a free kick? It certainly looked like it was taken in the wrong position. It was
if I'm a Dundee player or fan, I'd be disappointed myself. I don't see it as a major major mistake,
and VAR can't get involved in that. Just for
that's what I was going to ask
doubt,
you know. Just with your expertise with Willie, why?
Come on, that's poor from you, that one. The rest I will let slide.
I'm being genuine.
No, no, you're not.
The head of referees, Willie Collum.
William,
sorry. Why can't VAR get involved? Because it's a mistake that leads to a goal.
Yeah, but VAR doesn't get involved in the restarts of play. So think of it like a corner that is taken out with the quadrant and the goal scored. They wouldn't pull that back. A foul throw. Imagine a long throw comes into the box, but it's a foul throw and player scored. That wouldn't be pulled back. So VAR doesn't get involved in the restarts of play.
That's interesting. I'm going to, because genuinely, when I saw that yesterday and I saw the Dundee players up complaining to the referee,
and the referee was clearly explaining
something to them.
Yeah.
And that must be what it was explaining to them.
This sounds like I don't know what the measurement is, Andy. I was there at the game, so I saw it live. I thought it was worse at the time. You know, you get that sense where you go, I think that was taken miles from where it should be. When you see it back, it's not in the right place.
Is that a cut of grass, would you say?
It's maybe, and I don't, like I say, I'm not trying to tell Dundee fans, oh, you should be okay because it was only eight yards, But do you know what I mean? I thought it was going to be worse when I saw
it. Well, I thought it was worse. I thought it was going to be worse, sorry, because in full flow, I thought that ball's moving.
Yeah, Cammy Devlin almost controls it, doesn't he? And then plays
which
it
I think the referee then must see. If the ball's rolling, I think you have to see that. But like he says, I don't know the exact yards, but yeah, if it was a cut of grass, roughly about 8 yards, then
you put an onus on Dundee to be a bit more switched on.
Oh, absolutely. You can't leave a 20-yard gap in the middle of your midfield, and if you're going to leave anybody on the ball, it shouldn't be Lorne Shankland either.
Good finish.
Great finish.
Good finish by Braga.
I mean, listen, they had to bring off one of the forward players. Were you surprised it was Braga? It was the one that was
actually thought maybe Kizaridis.
Dad just given his goal 5 minutes before as well.
A good substitution, perhaps.
You're Paul Shankland not happy getting taken off later on?
No, he wasn't.
He's never happy.
He went on about it. I was sitting behind the dugout. He went on for quite a while. Yeah, about it. I'm going to get his thoughts.
Were you at first part when we played Hearts?
Yes. Oh, he wasn't
talking
happy.
Talking about a man that wasn't happy.
Oh, he was not happy. Speaking of the Steel Men, was that just like the perfect? You have your invested interest, Roger. You were there. Mm-hmm. Is that just two good teams that were both decent on the day, and neither was better than the other? That's what ended in a 1-1 draw.
That's exactly what it was like. I'm not a huge fan of draws. You know, they like to have won at the end of the day, but you couldn't have said that one team deserved it. I thought the two managers came in; they were quite honest in their assessment. They are two good teams. They're the fourth and fifth best teams in the country. Many teams qualify for Europe this season, Gordon? Is it four? Is it five?
I think it's five. Is it depending on the Scottish Cup?
It would be a shame if one of them didn't get into Europe, because the way they play, I think, you know, Hibs did well for me in Europe earlier in the season. You'd love to see that Motherwell team go in because they deserve to.
Andy, I think you can. Well, you tell me. It feels like you can make a case like where Hibs, I think, started better. Mm-hmm. They had some moments. Then Motherwell get their big chance at the end, though, don't they? Which makes you maybe have that feeling that it could have been won. What was the feeling in the club at the moment after that?
That your assessment's fair in terms of, I thought Hibs shaded the first half, just because I thought they looked a little bit more dangerous in the final third. The second half, I thought the game really ebbed and flowed both ways. I thought where we had a real period was after Hibs got their equaliser, actually, and you're expecting then Hibs to have all the momentum to go for a winner, but I actually thought that was really when we were at our best, the last sort of 15-20 minutes of the game. And I thought if anyone was going to get a winner, I thought it was Motherwell. That being said, I do think a draw was a fair result. And by the way, take allegiance away from it, I actually thought it was a brilliant game to watch.
And when Longuello had that chance in stoppage time, Salinger makes a save, I was just thinking this is going to be the storyline, because Gavin Pearson of Clyde One, Hibs fan, whining to me on the texts, he should have been sent off earlier on for two bookings.
That's a bad one for Gavin.
I'm going to pull up your pal as well, Scott Allen, when I see him next. He was texting me making the case for Hibs, and I was saying, I thought Motherwell could have won it late on, and he had left before Longuello's chance. So what you got? You need to assess the full picture. We're going to say, right, we should really have mentioned brilliant Falkirk win. We did earlier, but it'd be nice to talk about it more. Interesting times for Kelly and Livy down there. Maybe we can do that tomorrow, right? 11 players played for Celtic or Rangers, currently in Germany. Tillman, Silva, Jackson Irvin, Ollie Burke, Juranovic, Jens.
Mike Nowrocki.
Yep, he's at Hannover in Bundesliga 2.
Dedrick Boyata.
No.
Oh, no. I thought that was a good one.
Was that a good few from your Rangers era, I would have thought.
Oh, that is what I thought their death it wasn't as well.
Jeremy Tolia?
No. What about one that's just left Celtic for the Bundesliga? Like 2 days ago? Three, maybe last week, I don't know. I mean, only played once for Celtic, but that's not the point.
Oh, there's Samson Pusey.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Andy, it's three Rangers, a centre back, a centre forward, and an American utility man.
James Sands.
Okay.
Wow, is he in Germany?
Yep, he's on loan from New York.
Cholak?
No. Big defender, kind of key part of Rangers for a few years. Injuries, though.
Philip Hollander?
No, the other one.
Well, he's pal. Goldson.
No, his pal. The three of them.
Nikola Katic.
Katic. Okay.
Is he there as well?
Schalke. It's not like you. I think you two are off.
And
Ranger,
is
that the last one?
A Rangers striker.
No. Yeah, former Rangers striker. You probably think he's in Switzerland, but he's not.
Cedric Itten.
There you go.
He's in Fortuna Dusseldorf.
What a good question that is.
Well done to Paul for sending it in. Well done, Paul. And that is us. Thank you for your company. Much appreciated. As always, we are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. So we'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.